Hey, everybody. This episode is a conversation with my friend David Horowitz. Many people know David Horowitz. He is a very smart man, been a mentor of mine, and he's been warning against the threat of the American left for quite some time. And I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. This episode is brought to you advertiser-free by all of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support. So thank you for that. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. With us today is a mentor and a friend of mine, someone who was very generous to me very early on, and he is full of wisdom, and he has been predicting what's been happening in America for quite some time. I know many of our listeners know him quite well. It's David Horowitz, who's the author of a new book, The Enemy Within: How a Totalitarian Movement is Destroying America. Can't wait to explore this with you, David, but first, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Charlie, and let me praise you for all the wonderful work you're doing. The only way we're going to win this battle against these enemies of America is to have a mass organization. So you've created the best. So thank you for that.
Thank you. So let's get into your book. So The Enemy Within: How a Totalitarian Movement is Destroying America. And David, you've been talking about for many decades how their goal has always been control and political power. It's not about freedom. It's not about the well-being of other people. And walk us through that.
Yes, and destroying the political framework we have. If you look at what the Democrat Party has done, they want to pack the Supreme Court, which means they will destroy the linchpin of the whole checks and balances system. And of course, they want to open our borders in the midst of a global pandemic and let terrorists and COVID, there'll be 100,000 COVID carriers that will cross the border. They want to abolish the Electoral College, which is in the Constitution. And it's in the Constitution to force compromise. It forces presidential candidates to run in battleground states where they don't have natural majorities. So it forces them to move to the center. Our whole system is built on bipartisanship and compromise. And the Democrats have come into power to destroy all those safeguards. And of course, voter ID. They want to destroy the integrity of the electoral process. So you can't see that a voter is alive, not an illegal, hasn't voted in 30 states, or is a real person to begin with. And the Democrats, I mean, they lie. Everything they do is based on lies. We call it voter suppression. Look, first of all, anybody can get voter ID, as you know, Charlie. You need it for food stamps, for welfare, for prescription drugs. So, you know, even the poorest in our population can get it. But if they couldn't, the solution would be to get some government money and produce voter IDs for anybody who needs it. But the Democrats don't want to do that because they want to steal elections. The last sentence in my book, this book I've written, The Enemy Within, the last sentence says, if you look at what Democrats are doing, it's not about Donald Trump, one candidate. It's not about one election. It's about creating a one-party state.
Yes.
They're very close to doing. They are fascist. The biggest weakness we have as conservatives is being too polite. The only Republican I know who's called leftist fascist is Donald Trump. The only Republican I know who's called them racist, which is what they are. This is a racist party. It's anti-American in its core. but the only one who's used the term racist to describe a Democrat, it was a black Democrat who was a racist, Elijah Cummings, is Donald Trump. So we need more voices out there telling it like it is, as we used to say in the 60s. What's happened to our country is that I used to be part of this left. I was raised by communists. I was one of the founders of the New Left in the 60s. I edited its largest magazine. And I left the left when I realized it wasn't about peace. It's not about social justice or justice of any kind. It's not an anti-war movement. It's a hate America movement. It has one agenda, which is destroying America. And it doesn't spend 5 seconds on thinking what you're going to replace it with. Who in his right mind would open the southern border, a 3,000-mile border, in the midst of a global pandemic, let 100,000 COVID carriers in, let terrorists from God knows how many countries, there are 60 different countries who have been identified of illegals trying to or invading our borders, which is what it is. Who would do that? Who would empower drug cartels if they cared, if they were thinking? They're not even thinking. They don't even think. Biden, of course, Biden makes Trump look like a Boy Scout when it comes to his relation to truth. Trump, you know, there are exaggerations, which, of course, the Washington Post will call lies if Trump tells them. Like, Trump exaggerated his crowd size. Every politician does that. But he made promises to the American people to get elected, and he kept those promises. Biden made promises. I'm going to be a moderate. I'm going to represent all Americans, even the Republicans who voted against me. Lies, all lies. I'm not going to rule by executive order. That's what dictators do. Lies. And all of his executive orders were designed just to spite Trump. They didn't give 2 seconds to thinking what they're going to do when they open the borders, because everybody knew what was going to happen. These are incredibly dangerous and irresponsible people. And our side has to begin by recognizing that.
So I want to ask you, David, if you can dive deeper into this, because you were a member of the left, and a lot of conservatives that I talk to, they stop short when they say no one could be this evil. No one could do this intentionally. No, but this, I get this all the time. Walk us through that,
David. Okay. Here's how it happens. Every leftist is guided by a delusion that there's going to be a world of social justice. They're going to end poverty, racism, sexism, homophobia, war. It's all going to disappear if they get enough power. That is such an intoxicating illusion that reality ceases to matter anymore. You have to look at what happened in Ohio. This cop saved the life of a black teen. This other teen was stabbing her, about to plunge the knife into her chest and screaming, "I'm going to effing stab you, bitch." No ambiguity about it at all. And Black Lives Matter is saying the cop is a murderer. You have to ask yourself, how can any sane human being looking at those videos, it's not like they don't have enough videos, say that? Then you have this whole, you know, the George Floyd case. It was all supposed to be about racism. I mean, I said actually at the outset, how could it be about racism? One of the cops is black, another one is Asian. Well, Keith Ellison, who's the attorney general of Minnesota and a really bad guy anyway, but was the chief prosecutor in the case, now admits it had nothing to do with race. Nothing to do with race. They burned and looted and 220 American cities. There were 633 attacks on those cities up through August. They killed people. They have sabotaged the police, who's the only line of defense that poor people have against rampant crime in their neighborhoods, all under the excuse that this was about racism. And now the chief prosecutor concedes there was no, if you watch the trial, nothing said about race. The prosecution never raised the issue. There's not going to be any apologies. It just goes on. This cop in Ohio is a racist. We now have another case in North Carolina. This guy in North Carolina has a rap sheet that's 180 pages long, and they're accusing the cops of murdering him. He's a major drug dealer. He was resisting arrest on a felony warrant. Every Black Lives Matter, virtually every single one, was a criminal armed and resisting arrest. In Breonna Taylor's case, she was a criminal. She was an accomplice of a major drug dealer. And while she wasn't armed, her boyfriend was armed and he shot a cop. That's how she got killed. And yet this is all, every civil rights martyr now is a criminal. That wasn't the case in the 50s or when the civil rights movement was, you know, it was kids like Emmett Till that were innocent victims of racism. These people aren't victims of racism. They're criminals. It's just hard to imagine. You have the Democrat Party as a criminal party. It encourages, they've incited these riots. Kamala Harris has provided bail money for rioters arrested. You have to have a radical mentality. And the radical mentality comes from this fantasy that you are a savior of the world. And therefore you stuff. It's like, put it this way. If you thought that you could transform the world so that there was no racism, no sexism, no poverty, no war, what lie would you not tell and tell yourself? And what crime would you not commit or support? That's where they are. They're in that zone. And that's why they seem so completely irrational. You know, and conservatives, you know, we're the actual liberals in this. We believe in two sides to a conversation because we're confident that our point of view will prevail. We have the facts. We have the logic. They don't want a debate. They just want to suppress you.
So David, can you expand more on what you said, where they don't even have a plan to replace what they destroy? A lot of let's just say moderate Republicans, they go through their life rather rationally and logically, and they think, oh, there's no one that could actually believe something with nothing to replace it.
Open your eyes. I mean, I've just given several cases. Open your eyes.
No, I know. I'm just saying that, yeah, that they really don't have a replacement.
Let's do another. No, they don't. I know this from being a leftist. Leftists don't give 2 seconds of thought on each day to how to make a society work. They don't think that way. That's the way conservatives think. Here you have human beings. They're problematic. They lie. They cheat. They kill. They covet. That's the problem that we have to deal with. Leftists don't think that at all. Their entire day is spent thinking how they can destroy things, undermine them. That's all they think, and they're very good at it. You look at the bills they've already prepared. One will destroy religious institutions. That's called the Equality Act. The other will destroy the electoral system. That's called the For the People Act. That's what they're thinking of doing. How do we do? How do we get power? How do we dismantle the power? You know, the power that exists that's blocking us. There is no solution. I've read whole libraries when I was a Marxist. Whole libraries of socialist books. I don't remember a single book being devoted to how you create wealth. It's all about how you take it away and give it to your friends.
Wow.
That's the mentality you're dealing with.
Are you starting to see, David, I want to just mention your book again. I want to get into it. The Enemy Within, How a Totalitarian Movement is Destroying America. Are you seeing conservatives starting to rise up and fight Are you seeing a new spirit amongst certain people that otherwise would just kind of be vanilla?
Yes. I'm associated with two quotes about the left. One is that inside every progressive or liberal is a totalitarian screaming to get out. And the other is the left never knows when to stop. So they have overreached. They're overreaching. They have the schools, but they can't prevent themselves from teaching kindergartners that they can choose their sex, their gender, as it were. They can't conceal anymore that they hate America. I mean, America is a white supremacist. No, it isn't. You know, you have the president of the United States, this pathological liar named Joe Biden, saying on the, it was virtually the first day he got in office, systemic racism touches every aspect of American life. He got that straight from these Marxist sociopaths that run Black Lives Matter. In systemic racism was outlawed in this country in 1964 by the Civil Rights Act. All you have to do is look, you know, I've got a little summary in my book, The Enemy Within, but oh, you just look it up on the internet. It explicitly outlaws institutional and systemic racism. So if there were such a thing, take police departments. Suppose police departments were systemically racist. There'd be a tsunami of lawsuits. Look, assume as Democrats do that every white person who disagrees with you is a racist. There are thousands of black attorneys, district attorneys, attorneys general, mayors, city council members, state assembly members, state senators, congressional members. There would be thousands of lawsuits against these police departments for systemic racism, and they'd have to fire all those police chiefs in major cities who are black. There aren't such suits because there is no systemic racism. The only systemic racism in America today is affirmative action, which does systematically discriminate on the basis of race. And that's because to get that through, they had to get the Supreme Court to give them a pass in one of its worst decisions, which they did. They say worst decisions because it's not only racist, affirmative action, but it hurts the people it's supposed to benefit by placing them, in, for example, in universities where they can't compete. Not because all black people are stupid or people of color, as Joe Biden once sort of said, but it's just the reality. The black students at Harvard, at MIT, for example, as Tom Sowell pointed out, are in the top 1 or 2% of all high school graduates in the country. But at MIT, they're in the bottom 10th. You don't want to do that. I mean, I knew this from personal experience. I had an uncle who was a teacher at the High School of Music and Art, which was a special school for talented musicians and artists. And I got in, and I didn't have a special talent. I could play the piano, sort of. But I got in, and I was totally discouraged. These kids were geniuses. And so I went to my regular high school where I could succeed and, you know, whatever, reach whatever level I could reach. So anyway, that was a digression. I want to point out for conservatives who are not, don't associate Democrats with fascists. What happened on January 6th? First of all, we had an entire summer of Democrat Party encouraged riots in our cities that caused billions of dollars in damage, killed people, set fire to federal buildings, and was an obvious insurrection. These, you have to ask yourself, why are these people destroying cities? It's because they hate America, and they're revolutionaries. They want to replace everything. They would burn it to the ground if they could. And I made this connection, but you can see it in this, what's it called? The infrastructure plan. They want to retrofit every building in America. They want to start anew, which is what revolutionaries do. In Cambodia, they killed the Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge killed every person who had eyeglasses on because they read books and therefore they had the bad ideas of the past. They wanted to start from ground zero. And the French revolutionaries did the same thing. Year one when the revolution started. Forget the whole past. Now go to January 6th. They didn't set fire to the Capitol. They didn't destroy things. They didn't kill anyone. In fact, all the people who died, and most of them died from natural causes like heart attacks. They shouldn't have put themselves in that situation. They didn't do anything worse than Linda Sarsour, this rabid anti-Semite, did in the Kavanaugh hearings, where she led demonstrators who had to be removed by the cops, whose purpose was to obstruct a congressional hearing. The Democrats called that democracy in action. No one said that's insurrection in action. One of them was murdered, Ashley Babbitt, a 14-year Air Force veteran who was unarmed, a small person. And her murder was videoed by a journalist, an Hispanic journalist, showing that she was murdered and no threat to anyone. The journalist was arrested. The Capitol Police officer who murdered her is protected by Nancy Pelosi. I think an appropriate epithet for her would be Nazi Pelosi. There's no investigation. And it's already been announced by the Justice Department that he's not, the anonymous Capitol Police murderer is not going to be tried for anything. There will be no legal proceedings. Same thing. Pelosi also disarmed the Capitol Police. There weren't enough police there to stop this intrusion. Ordered 25,000 troops at a cost of $500 million to defend against the imaginary threat coming from conservatives. And started and initiated, this is what the Democrats did. Oh, well, first of all, there's people still in jail who were arrested during the demonstration. Actually, it was a protest inside the Capitol. They're still in jail and being held without bail. It's what fascists do. It's like 4 months later, they're still in jail. And then they launched witch hunts to weed out what they call extremists, what we know as conservatives, from the Capitol Police. The military was on a two-month stand down to conduct its witch hunt. The Department of Homeland Security has announced it's conducting a witch hunt. This is what fascists do. This is like the Reichstag fire, the way the Democrats have treated January 6th. They called it an armed insurrection. There were no arms. You can't have an insurrection without arms. But there were no arms. In Germany, the Weimar Republic was a democracy. Hitler won the election and became chancellor. Immediately, the Nazi Party burned the Reichstag, which is their capital, blamed it on a Dutch communist, and proceeded to institute a witch hunt and change the laws that was called the Reichstag Fire Act to suppress their opposition. It's exactly what Pelosi and the Democrats are doing. If you think that it's inconceivable that these people would put us in camps, you aren't paying attention. You aren't paying attention. America is not the Weimar Republic. Americans are much more independent, self-reliant, distrustful of government than the Germans were. But if you don't think that's where the Democrats are headed, you have ignored the fact that they tried to expel 100 Republicans from the Congress because of the January 6th demonstration. You have ignored the fact that they They've talked about the need to re-educate, which how do you re-educate except by creating camps for people? Re-educate conservatives. 61% of Democrats think that Republicans are racist. White supremacy is not the problem in this country. There were 3,000 members. There are 3,000 members of the Ku Klux Klan. There are 50,000 members of the Nation of Islam, which is a black Ku Klux Klan. Its theology is that white people were created by a mad scientist named Yaakov. I'm not making this up. By a mad scientist named Yaakov, who diluted white people's blood and created a morally inferior, is the way they put it, race of white people who are white devils. That Farrakhan is the biggest racist in the country. And there's a whole Farrakhan cheering squad in the Democrat side of the Congress.
So David, I want to get into in your book and then also your life experience, because the number one question we get from the people that watch this program and listen is, what can I do? What do we need to do? So let's go through action items, David.
You already know what to do, Charlie. But for your audience, what needs to be done is we have to have a mass movement that organizes at every level. I want to see, look, how does the left, when I came into the right in the mid-80s, I looked around. The first thing I said is, where's the ground army? The left has all these organizations. They harass and threaten politicians and CEOs of companies. The extortion that began with Sharpton and Jackson would go to companies and say, fork over so much money. Or we're going to call you racists and boycott you. That's how they did it. That's how they turned all these corporations into their patsies. I don't want to see Republicans become barbarians, but I do want to see, I'd like to see, why isn't there a sit-in at the headquarters of Twitter and Facebook calling them censors and fascists is what they are, for deplatforming the president of the United States, for deplatforming, you know, every Twitterer, every social media person who's effective. Almost all of our leaders have been affected by their censorship. Why aren't we harassing them? Same thing in the schools. They're indoctrinating kindergartners that they can choose whether to be boys or girls. They're encouraging teenage girls, to get mastectomies so they can become boys. It's child abuse on an unbelievable scale, except when you think about the genocide that's going on through abortion. Why aren't we up in their faces all the time?
So David, the reason is, and you know this, conservatives, they don't want to get in this. They'd rather build their family, build their business, number one. Number two, they think of themselves as being above that, decent, moral high ground. And then number three, and this is to your earlier point, the reaction to January 6th, I think, stunted what would have been one of the greatest mass movements in America. That would have made the Tea Party look like minuscule. It made a lot of people afraid to get out in the streets. It did.
It's very important. That's why this propaganda war is very important. It's going to happen every time there's a conservative success. They're going to twist it. They're going to always say that we're white supremacists and racists. You have to go in their face. They're the racists. Why is it that Donald Trump is the only Republican who's called the Democrat a racist? Why isn't every Republican up there on the Hill throwing that in their faces? They pick people. They have such incompetent people that Biden is selected on the basis of race and gender. The head of the Civil Rights Division has a Farrakhan view of race. She's such a racist, Kristen Clark. Why did they approve his nominations? Every Trump nominee was called a racist practically. You know, when Trump got elected, he had a terrible time getting his cabinet in place. Why don't they give them a hard time? Why are they being so, you know, it's like they're playing by rules that don't exist anymore because the Democrats won't observe them. I don't get it myself. I just don't get it.
Well, and so, David, I think that one of the things that gives me hope is that the people are with us. They are just not speaking out, and they don't have the courage. So I what we do at Turning Point, what we try to do is create these mass movements. David, I was just at a church yesterday in San Marcos, California. We had 2,000 people show up. They're wanting organization. They're wanting unity. And what I told them, David, is similar to what you've always been telling me is, what next time you see someone in charge, take out your phone and record yourself talking to them and asking questions right in their eyes. That bothers them more than anything else is confrontation, peaceful confrontation, not the Maxine Waters type. Exactly. But
you're exactly right. Go for the jugular, though. Don't call them liberals. Why are Republicans calling these fascist liberals? They're vindictive bigots. I mean, it's so obvious. The only liberal people are conservatives. We believe in two sides of a conversation because we're going to win the argument. But they want to suppress. So it's being much more aggressive. That's the difference. Trump created the mass movement. I don't know how many people were at his rallies, but say it's 100,000, it's probably more. That's the basis for the fight. Those people need to be organized. They're being assaulted in their homes. Their kids are going to schools that are trying to steal them from their parents and turn them against their country and fill their heads and turn them, make the white kids into oppressors. It's a nightmare. But our guys need to fight back at every level.
Well, and I totally agree. Schools, yeah.
But it's at every level and in every way. Get in their faces, call them what they are, what they're doing. It's like, they banned Dr. Seuss. And what do we say? That's cancel culture. No, it's book burning. It's what the Nazis did in the 30s. It just happens to be a digital age. So
that is so good, David. That's exactly right. It's not cancel culture. It's book burning. David, Enemy Within, the totalitarians in our country. Give us a little bit of a snapshot of the book that we didn't touch on and why people should go buy it. I tell them to buy it just because it's written by you, but tell us a little bit.
Yeah, it starts, you have to understand there, everybody knows this, but our guys are shy of pointing it out all the time. Their weapon is race and it's racism. They're anti-white racists. It's open season on white people and blame them for everything. The people they're hurting are black. Democrats control every inner city of any size in America 100% and have for 50 to 100 years. Every injustice in the inner city, real or imagined, Democrats are 100% responsible for. They're racist. If Republicans controlled these cities like Minneapolis, Chicago, you know, all the cities that erupted, Atlanta, if Republicans were in control, you know the Democrats would be calling you racist, and rightly so, for that matter. There isn't a Republican in sight in Minneapolis, not a Republican in sight. So you just have, I call it fighting fire with fire. Everything a leftist or a Democrat says is a moral indictment. That's how they talk. They're indicting you. They use race as the indictment. You have to turn that around. Republicans talk about policy. They make arguments. They don't care about arguments. You know, I mean, when they put up a COVID relief bill, what percent? 6% of it was about COVID. They put up an infrastructure bill. 6% of it is about infrastructure. Then they redefine everything. Republicans have to get tired of just exposing their absurdity and realize these people want to suppress and kill us. And we have to fight, go right between the eyes, right for the jugular.
Well, and I'll tell you, David, that the conservative movement, when I first came to your summits 8 years ago, David, 2013, it was a policy-focused conservative movement. And you were out there trying to get people to understand what we were up against. And I think it's
against the stone wall all the time.
Would you agree that 8 years ago it was more of a policy-focused conservative movement?
No, things have really changed, and particularly your generation. There are so many really good, aggressive, and funny people on social media attacking, ridiculing them and attacking them and exposing their hypocrisies. I just want to see, I'd like to see demonstrations. Like I say, I'd like to see a sit-in at the Twitter headquarters. It would draw attention to what Jack Dorsey is doing. And when you have the attention, you could expose the hypocrisies and the dangers of deplatforming a president and the lies that are told about Trump. I mean, Trump kept his promises. Biden has violated every one of the things that he promised. It was, like I say, he was going to be the president of all the people. And no, that's not going to happen. Or the, you know, just what they've done with the borders. They've endangered the lives of all Americans. You have 100,000 COVID carriers coming across that border. And they're not just going in the southern rim of Texas. They're flying them at our taxpayer expense all over the country. I mean, it's just, anyway, you got to, what did Harry Truman said? When the Cold War started, when Russia started, made clear they were not going to withdraw from Eastern Europe, but we're going to annex it, basically. Harry Truman said, it's time to scare the hell out of the American people.
Well, David, thank you for joining. It is an enemy within.
I'm really proud of it. I designed it. If I can find a copy, be right there. This is what I mean by fighting fire with fire.
Oh, I love that.
Where's the enemy? Kamala.
That's terrific.
Nancy, Elizabeth, Elan, Schumer, AOC, and Bernie. The enemy within. Don't be afraid. Just think of what they're doing to us. What did Nancy Pelosi call Republicans? Enemies of the state. Enemies of the state. I mean, they're accusing Republicans of treason all the time. John Kerry has made a political career out of treason. He lied about atrocities in Vietnam. He did. He took duty that saved his own skin, where he would not be engaged in battle, but he claimed to know about atrocities that our boys committed. He started his career as a traitor. And now what he's telling the Iranian mullahs, of course, his family is married into the Iranian mullah leadership, which people don't mention very often, but it's pretty telling. And he tells them he gave all the attacks that Israel did on their, you know, sites. He's a traitor. The Iranians are chanting death to America, and John Kerry is feeding them military information.
And that's the language Republicans need to start using. Well, David, thank you for joining, and hope to see you soon, maybe in Palm Beach in November.
So. Charlie, I hope so. You're invited, great. Of course.
Thank you. Well, God bless you, David. Speak to you soon.
Hey, Charlie. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.